fucking Super Bowl week. Football. Tom Brady is actually retired, and this is NFL Australia. That's right. I am your co-host, James Clements, sitting here. Oh, God. Sweating like a priest near a preschool today. I'm a writer sometimes for whomstever wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff here in Larry Armour Studios. On the other side of this here iPad, he is a bloke figuring out whether or not he should wear his Eagles gear or his Aaron Rodgers jersey or his new Jags gear to our Super Bowl party. Oh, no. Watch out. It's sometime singer in a band called The Ramshackle Army. He's my mate. He is your mate. It is Gaz. Gaz, what's going on?
Jim, you know what I fucking did this weekend? Nothing. I reorganized my office. I reorganized the carport. I did house shit and had two beers by myself. You know why? I couldn't face humans without being able to talk about football this week. I had no games to talk about. Like, there was one a week ago, and there's one in another week. And, like, I just had to fucking sit here by myself and, like, just scroll old Twitters. It was 4 years ago that we won the Super Bowl, Jimmy. So there was lots of reminiscing going on this weekend as I cried into my pillow.
I don't remember that Super Bowl. But either way, we're here to preview this Super Bowl. That's right. Super Bowl 56. Can't wait. It's going to be awesome. And that's it. That's all we're doing for this show. And it's like, because that's it. Like, there's one game left in the NFL season, and we're going to talk about it. We're going to preview it as best we can. All in one dumb, drunken NFL Australia package. That's how we roll. And we may as well get to it, Gaz. That's all right. You know, sound good?
Yeah, yeah. We've got apparently we went through a few cans. We got told by listeners last week. You could hear the cans cracking. So we'll see if we can outdo ourselves.
All right. Episode 47 of NFL Australia. Let's go. I am going to burn this motherfucker to the ground. Oh, g'day. Yeah, this is Brian Flores, and you're listening to NFL Australia. All right, Gaz. Big week. Super Bowl week. Ooh. That's right. Super Bowl, it is happening. I can't fucking wait. Like, it's really annoying. Like, I like the two-week break. It builds up the anticipation. But at the same time, I'm like, it's now too long between football, and it's just a bit fucky. It's a bit weird.
The Pro Bowl couldn't be counted as football.
No, Pro Bowl, look, I'm going to talk about that in one, like, literally a second. Oh, God. I had to turn it off, I'll be honest. Anyway, big week. Not only do we have Bengals-Rams Super Bowl coming up Monday morning our time, 10:30 a.m. We'll see you at the Catfish. Tom Brady, actually for real retired. Look, there were tears. There was emotional moments, and that was just Brady. I was a mess. I was a blubbering mess wrapped up in my Tom Brady jersey. Just having a bit of a, quiet cry shower. But the GOAT is done and did about 8 different messages in it, and all of them were amazing. It was great. I wonder if he's now going to have a strawberry. What do you reckon? But either way, other news popped off this week. Brian Flores had a couple of things to say. None of them good for the NFL. Most of them involved... Yo, what the fuck, NFL? Holy shit.
Yeah.
And to be honest, after he brought that big case of rampant discrimination against NFL teams, everybody with half a brain was kind of like, yeah, I mean, he's not wrong. Like, holy shit. Yeah, this is fucked. And here we are. Washington, the football team, have a new name, the Commies. I think that's where I stopped at Com and went, oh, okay, so they're the Commies. That's cool.
In Washington.
In Washington. Yeah. Commies in Washington. Good timing, Dan Snyder. Just covering yourself with glory as per fucking usual, you idiot. Alvin Kamara was arrested after the Pro Bowl. He played and then was arrested. Charged with battery. Well, it's like sort of, what is it? The weird battery that caused bodily harm vibes. And doesn't sound great. The video, cops have got it.
No.
Sounds like he basically admitted it. And I don't think that's a kind of a cool vibe. Bashing people. Not cool, Gaz. Not cool. Speaking of which, there was the Pro Bowl. And as we just mentioned, fuck that noise. It was when Mac Jones was just like scampering off for like the world.
That was crazy.
And it's like, oh, okay. I don't think anyone's taking this serious. Oh, fuck. And it is weird. Look, all-star games, I think, work for baseball, basketball. They don't work really for AFL, NFL. No. NHL even, really? Like, if it's a contact sport, it's just too fucking hard to sort of go half speed or try and, like, you know, go out there and risk it. I tend to think, yeah, you can go out and go hardcore, but if you're not getting paid a shit ton of money to do it, then fuck that noise. You know what I'm saying? So, what are you going to do? Yep. But also, I mean, there was also this sort of weird, speaking of which, the NFL came out literally this week and was like, ha, yeah, so we need to change some more rules. Just a heads up, fellas, because all you motherfuckers keep getting hurt on special teams play, and it's not great, and all the changes we made, they seem to be working a little bit, but not enough. We should fix it, and there we go. And of course, you've added a little bit about Kyler Murray unfollowing the cards, which is pretty funny.
And then deletes all of his, the cards related posts from his Insta. Did all for it. He's not in Tom's top eight anymore, mate. If that was MySpace, there's an old school MySpace reference.
Fuck, that's a throwback. Fucking hell. But Kyler Murray and the unfollowing, I loved it because it's very petty. It's like literally like teenage girl kind of vibes. Like, Kyler, what did they do to you, do you think?
I've got a contract coming up soon. I've got a contract negotiation coming up soon. I'm playing hardball.
Anyway, and the last few coaches were hired. I think we've gone full out now, haven't we? With the Dennis Allen hiring the promotion, basically, in New Orleans. Yeah. And Lovie Smith. I love that Lovie's back. It's weird. The Texans have just gone, we'll get Lovie Smith, because let's just pretend that when he stunk in, like, Tampa Bay, that was just a little. And when he stunk at the end of his reign in Chicago, three times a charm, right? Holy shit. So I think that's all the coaches, right? So Chicago, Matt Eberflus. Denver, Nathaniel Hackett, the Giants, the wrong Brian, oh geez. Las Vegas, my man, Josh McDaniels, the Vikings, Kevin O'Connell, Doug Peterson over on the Jags, your best mate, Mike McDaniel, Lovie Smith, as mentioned, the Texans, Saints, Dennis Allen after his sterling record. Well, he was on the Raiders, right? 8-28, I think he went. So awesome. Yep. Covering yourselves in glory there, New Orleans. I don't know how many people have pointed this out, but the entire Brian Flores thing can very easily be summed up here, guys. The Rooney Rule isn't working if you have Matt, Nathan, Brian, Josh, Kevin, Doug, Mike, and Dennis. There's literally no whiter fucking names that you could come up with, like, off the top of your head. It's like, I'll take Kevin. I'll take a Doug. Give me a Mike. Give me a Matt. Can I get a Nathan in there? Brian. Take a fucking Brian. Josh? There we
Wrong
go.
One,
it's like,
though.
He's going fucking bang, 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 bang. Whitey, whitey, white, 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 white. Brutal scenes. But anyway. And
look, I think that the problem that I have, look, like, watch the Brian Flores interview, and Jesus Christ, there's some damning shit here. But who would have guessed that all of this controversy would have started because your mate can't fucking text? The joke's kicking around that he's now got them as white Brian and black Brian. but yeah, one of our, you know, Cam Chambers in our fantasy chat today came out and said, we're gonna hire him back as an OC back in the Patriots. Oh. And my joke was that Bill's already tried to text him an offer, but sent it to Brian Billick instead.
Not bad.
Mate, take the technology off the old guys. The problem was the statement that Flores came out today, well, it's, you know, through his lawyers. It started off good. It started off that I'm happy that the Texans hired Lovie Smith, hired a black coach, but then the last line of it was just what flipped it on its head, saying the fact that I had a positive interview and that it was mutual interest proves that I only didn't get hired because of this court case. He could have just said, I'm really happy for Lovie, but I'm gonna keep fighting the good fight for this wider thing. But then, just those words, that last sentence came out of his lawyer's mouth, didn't it? If you watch the interview, that is not a Brian Flores statement.
He's also maybe not wrong. So,
potentially,
which is my entire vibe. And you're saying the quiet part out loud, which is the part you're not meant to do, but this is basically what he's doing across the board. And I'm actually fine with it because he's like, I'm going to keep shining a fucking light on the fact that I'm having these amazing ones and not getting a chance. And it's probably because I'm the first one to sort of come out and talk about this in a long time, and it's fucked. And unfortunately, the NFL, like, this is the thing. The Rooney rules are well and good. I just listed off the Matt, the Nathan, the Brian, the Josh, the Kevin, the Doug, the Mike, and the Dennis. The whitest of whitey, white names you can get. But as we all sort of know, it's like, unless you have like a diversity of ownership as well, like there's, like, what do you think's going to keep fucking happening? This sort of shit.
Of course.
So, when you've got, what, one minority owner, I think, in the entire 32 teams in the NFL. So it's pretty fucking brutal, man. But I don't know, like the allegations of like the losing on purpose for the Dolphins, etc., were kind of fun. You're like, yeah, still beat the fucking Pats though in those years. I think that's like sons of bitches. But anyway, the allegations are pretty hardcore. They just make a bit of sense though, as you sort of look at it and go, yeah, the amount of just white coaches with fuck all experience getting like a leg up versus OCs. Other minority candidates in like coordinator roles, whatever. It's pretty fucking crazy. Like the ones that get promoted or basically fast tracked, right? Tend to not be out like from minorities. And it just fucking blows my mind how that happens in 2022. So good on
him. Eric Bieniemy doesn't get a job, but Josh McCown, who's never coached anything except be a fill in, is getting repeated job interviews. I love Josh. He was like great backup and was an assistant coach while doing it, but doesn't deserve a role above these dudes who've never had the chance, right?
Exactly. You did mention also the Focaccia.
Yeah, the Focaccia got a job elsewhere, mate.
I love it. Well, it's just as well because it's your team, the Green Bay Packers.
Fuck's sake.
I love this. You and your love for Aaron Rodgers now knows no bounds in my eyes. So, anyway, speaking of which.
One week I supported them against the Vikings. And I think my hatred for Kirk Cousins clearly outweighs anything that toe-injured, fucking anti-vax, free speech, Joe Rogan mate come up with.
I just want to cast back to last year's Super Bowl where you did nothing but give me shit about Tampa Bay. I'm just saying. So
getting
some back.
Yeah.
But you said it. Let's do it. The Super Bowl 56 preview, and this one is brought to you by our mates over at Manscaped, because that same day, tell you what, Cupid's working hard in February, just like the Bengals and the Rams. Jesus. And our mates at Manscaped are working even harder. Jesus, it's pretty hard, man. To ensure that your Valentine's Day is one to remember. I don't know if I'm going to remember mine, Gaz, to be honest. Jeez. Especially after last year. But either way, don't turn this day of romance into Independence Day with a bunch of weird aliens blowing up your junk. Get in control of their performance package 4.0. That's 4.0, which includes a signature lawnmower 4.0, which I love. So this February, you can join 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our exclusive offer. Go to manscaped.com. Use their code STRAYA for 20% off and free shipping. It's just STRAYA. It's the same name as this fucking podcast. Come on. Contrary to popular belief, love is not blind when you can't see past the love jungle. Tell you what, Valentine's Day, Gaz, you need a clean set of balls. Not just for your sake, but for everybody who will go near them sake, or hopefully go near them, right? It's Valentine's Day. You got to hope for the best. It's like, you know, fingers crossed, balls crossed, off you go. And the best way to go about it is a performance package, because you got the lawnmower, it's unreal. The trimmer. It's got the advanced skin-safe technology. It's got the light. It's just next level. It's so good. No bloody nicks, just like this household. But also you've got Confucius saying education breeds confidence. So get educated on the ultimate grooming routine. So you've got the weed whacker for your nose and ear hair trimmer. It's fucking gnarly. I love that stuff. Then you've also got the performance package, including the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and the Crop Reviver Ball Toner. It's unreal. Use the deodorant after you get the shower, the toner on the go. Make sure your goods are smelling all right. And then you've also got the refined cologne. That's Pepe Le Pew approved, that one. I'll tell you what, it's masculine, but it's light. It'll have your partner speechless. Unreal. Anyway, so Manscaped's got you covered this Valentine's Day, so get yourself the gift that you and your partner will both appreciate. So go to manscaped.com for an exclusive offer. 20% off from free shipping with the code STRAYA. Remember, you can't buy love, but you can buy a clean pair of balls. 20% off from free shipping with the code STRAYA at manscaped.com. 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. Use that code STRAYA. Help tame that love jungle you have in your pants with Manscaped. All right. Super Bowl 56. Bengals-Rams. Not exactly what we would have picked basically before the season. It's a bit tricky. And I'll tell you what, I reckon that might be a part of the first big thing I just want to mention here, guys. There's a Super Bowl? Question mark? You feel like the vibe on this one's just a little bit off. Less than a week out.
Yeah.
Like, there's not much hype about it. For the amount of time that I spend on ESPN, on the internet, on tweets, rocking, like, just fucking watching ESPN still, like, it feels like the vibe is just kind of a little bit down. Like, I think it's probably to do with the fact that we've got two first-time QB Super Bowlees and a team without, like, a giant national footprint in Cincy. And I guess a team that doesn't have, like, you know, the world's biggest fucking fervent fan base in the Rams. So that means you kind of get, like, more of a low-key two-week lead-up as well. And it's always weird that there's always, like, a weird fucking story in the 2 weeks in between Super Bowl, like, and championship round, right? And this time it's Brian Flores. Past years, it's always something, and it always sort of takes the shine off the actual game itself. Like, without fail, it's fucking strange. But I don't know. It just sort of feels like this one's a little bit of a downer, which I don't think we would have had if we had have had, like, even Chiefs-Rams, right? Because it'd be like, Mahomes versus McVay. It's going to be fucking on. Stafford-Mahomes. I don't know.
I don't know whether it's the Rams fan base too. Like, it's not as big and blah, blah. But I still would have thought that, you know, back in the days where it was media week, right? It was all of the guys did their interviews. I had some time to kill and I just jumped on YouTube and was looking up, you know, Super Bowl preview videos. And it was just a few bits of the same.
Yeah.
A few sketches from, you know, Unscripted and all that sort of stuff. And I'm like, really? Like, this is the best that we've got? But yeah, like previously, you would have thought it's the Cinderella story with the story of Stafford, who was, you know, just played in this shitty situation for so long and all these things and these first timers and blah, blah, blah. There's so many storylines that could fucking come out of this that could have been used to hype the media, and they've just kind of missed the mark.
We still, what is it? It's going to be Wednesday by the time this one basically comes out. It's Tuesday our time. Yep. This is sort of like the time where it does really ramp up, but I feel like it is just kind of like a, huh? And obviously with Tom Brady retiring last week, it sort of pulls a bit of the air out of the room for the Super Bowl, but he timed it where it was like early enough that it didn't overshadow it this week. And it's still kind of like, oh, yeah, it's still on.
Fuck, he's a good guy. what a guy.
Now we can eat a strawberry. but the way we're going to preview it, we're going to do five big questions each. So five that I've come up with, five that Gaz has come up with. We've got a bunch of yeah nahs from myself and some listeners. Gaz has got one in there as well. We've got one Outback Takeouse. And then we're going to have Fast Jimmy's Locks of the Week for top 10 fun, dumb Super Bowl bets. Which will let Lucas...
That's a mouthful?
That's what I'm best at. Basically, let us look at sort of like some of the, you know, the weird sort of aspects of this game as well. And then the sort of final actual picks. Do you want to start there, Gaz? I'll start with my first question of my five questions.
We'll start there. Let's do it. I've got to strap in with a freshie.
It's pretty simple. Like, the Bengals, can that front hold up against the Rams' pass rush? Like, if they can do it even a little, you know, the Joey B will slice and dice. It can maybe open up them running as well. But I think this was like I think the Rams are the sixth best rushing defense and the Bengals in the season were the fifth. But the Bengals haven't been great in the playoffs at stopping the run, whereas the Rams have still been fucking good. So it sort of becomes that weird thing with, if that front can give them a little bit of time, maybe it unlocks Mixon, maybe it unlocks Joey B. Or are we just going to see Aaron Donald smashing fucking poor Joey B's face into the SoFi Stadium turf?
And Von Miller has been fucking a monster in the playoffs, right? And look, I think the other stat was that I'm fucking full of useless information that I haven't taken note of, so who knows how this is staying in my head. But the Bengals were like... were 19th in rushing attempts this season. So I don't know that they're going to all of a sudden change a game plan and go, nah, fuck it. We're just going to try and run through that defensive front. But look, the offensive line for the Bengals is just a fucking worry. Like, particularly considering this is the strength of the Rams, and you're like, oh, he could be running for his life.
Like, this colors my entire read of this entire Super Bowl. Because, like, that's where my pick is going to land. Like, hashtag spoiler alert. It's what my pick was last week. And it just, my fucking brain just hasn't changed. Like, I just, like, my thoughts on it. The way I can just picture it in my fucking mind's eye is Joey B going back in that pocket, collapsing just quicker and quicker and quicker and quicker. And it's just like, what the fuck? And we sort of go, oh, wow, yeah, first time in Super Bowl. It's like, well, so is Stafford, but at the same time, a bunch of these Rams are in the Super Bowl, three years ago? So I don't know. It's pretty tricky. And I think so much of this fucking game just hinges on that, like that O-line against the D-line.
100%. So.
Anyway, your first big question. Come on, hit me up.
Well, I'm gonna jump my questions around a little bit because this kind of leads into it. And one of my questions is Joe Mixon the key for the Bengals? Because they're gonna attempt to shut down that passing game by smothering like Ramsey, as you know, they're just gonna try and cover up Higgins and Chase, and they're gonna try and get to him and quickly and give him absolutely no fucking time. But in the last game, 70 of Joey B's yards came from passes to running backs. So if you're going to give yourself time, flash Joe Mixon out into the flat while they're trying to cover, funnily enough, a couple of good receivers, and give yourself time and room. Like, is that the way that they're going to, you know, flash out in the first half, cause them to respect that pass game a little bit more, hesitate a little bit, and then try and carve them up in the second half? That could be the thing. And when they slow down and when they have to drop a little bit, well, then there's going to be some room for Mixon to run. So,
and it sort of turns into a numbers game there as well for like the Rams D, right? Like in terms of their safeties and their corners, like, you know, they're going to have their hands full with the receivers anyway. Like, is that the one sort of like little chip in the arm?
You can't stack the box, right?
Yeah, exactly. So if you can just push it that, maybe something happens. But I mean, just sticking on the Bengals, my second one is they're literally, guys, seriously, any way in hell that Joey B could win a Supie in his second year after his first year was truncated by him tearing his fucking ACL, comes back, takes his team to the Super Bowl. Can he actually win the fucking thing? Like, is he legit that good? Is this team literally a Super Bowl winning team? The Cincinnati Bengals. Just that simple fucking question blows my mind, having watched them. I mean, I think the amount of times I saw them this year, like, because they blew a couple of weird fucky games, right? We know that. But the way they've sort of just handled their business in the actual playoffs has been a very different sort of beast, and has been kind of gnarly, right? Like, the way that they sort of did the Chiefs and the Titans. No. Yeah, they beat the Titans. That's right. They beat the Chiefs and then the Titans. The Titans and the Chiefs.
Hey, you almost didn't remember the Titans, Jimmy.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's fucking terrible.
Yeah, you're fired. That's horrible. That's a weird, like that game that they lost to the fucking Browns, right? Like that one earlier, like in the middle of the year, was just horrible and couple of weird fucky ones.
Yeah, well, I mean, how many episodes this year did we go, all right, no fucking clue.
No clue about this team.
But then again, we said that about the Rams too. Yep. So literally both of these teams have the capability to just come up and put up a stinker, right? Yep. Like Joey B, you were not expecting him to, yes, he's mobile, but he showed a bit of composure and a bit of scramble against the Chiefs, particularly in the second half last week. Like he's moving around there. So they kind of, if we could get out of the pocket early and move that around, then they kind of have to seal the edge, which stops Von Miller and Aaron Donald like beelining to him. If they could stop, if we can make them hesitate, and look, they're smart dudes. Von Miller sealing that edge. There's a couple of games I watched him this year where he's just like, holy fuck! You would have thought that the The running back was just around him, and he just hesitated that enough to change direction and keep that guy on the inside. And that's what makes this defensive line so fucking dangerous.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it leads on to that once again.
Well,
yeah, sorry, go on.
I just want to like push home the simple point though. I do think Joey B is good enough. Like we've seen much less good. I was going to say, you know, much worse.
Less gooder.
But they're less gooder. QBs win Super Bowls, obviously, right? Like, Joey B is a fucking weapon. He's awesome. He makes good decisions a lot of the time. The biggest problem is, like, he was sacked, what, 51 times in the season or whatever it was? Yeah. And you're like, Jesus, that is a lot.
And he's composed.
Yeah.
He's fucking composed. He's just fucking chilled out there. Like, most quarterbacks would have had that second half against the Chiefs just get to them. But he just was that stone-faced fucking, you can see the, he's, you know, he's been in the national championship game and all that sort of stuff and smoked cigars in every room. But yeah, like you just, I just don't think at the moment is too big for him, right? It's just, yeah, it's possible. I'd fucking love it, mate. I'm going for it because of the Cinderella story. I fucking love it. I loved the whole Eagles underdog thing of that role, like, you know, hungry dogs run faster, all that sort of shit. And I just love the fact that they are so young. They're built through the draft. They're built through a process. Trust the process, Jimmy. And they could take this down, right? In an improbable.
That's right. Improbable. That all works. Fuck it.
Improbable year. That fucking works. Less gooder. But it also leads on to there's a key that could fucking flip this game. And that is the fucking Matt Stafford killer interceptions. So my next big one is, can Matt Stafford avoid those killer picks for one more game? He threw one last week and avoided one that was fucking horrible. It was so fucking horrible that the 49ers defender like was like, I'm way too far away from the receiver. This ball can't possibly be coming to me, right? It was that fucking bad. If he does that this week, and remember, this, you know, the Bengals defense isn't amazing, but it kept enough pressure on Patrick Mahomes, who had a fucking lights out first half. If they can get that pressure onto Matt Stafford and cause a couple of errors and Burrow stays error free, well then, mate, the improbable might happen. It's only 4.5 points.
True. It is crazy. Like that Stafford sort of aspect to it where he was so good early on, sort of scuffled through mid chunk of the season and then sort of was good again. And like, at least good enough, right? Like it's one of those things where you're like, he does sort of fit the bill as a Super Bowl winning QB because as long as he limits those sort of giant brain farts, we know that he's good enough to do everything else. And so that's a really good question, like if that actually happens. Like that sort of comes into mind as well. My, this is like a beautiful dance, Gaz. Do the Rams just have too many weapons on O and D for the Bengals to compete with? Like that's kind of it, right? So when you talk about Stafford, we know who he's going to be throwing to. You've got Cooper Kupp, you've got Odell, you've got like a weird sort of what, two-headed running back monster with what, Akers and Sony Michel, and but just that, all the weapons that they've got on defense as well, it just sort of almost seems like a little bit too much. And you're like, God damn, I just feel bad. Like that's where your underdog kind of vibe comes in, right? Where you're like, they aren't the Super Bowl, the super team. This is fucking awesome. Let's go Bengals. Yeah. But there's sort of, on top of that as well, do we get to see Ramsey versus Chase, do you think?
I think it's most likely because Jalen's going to want to follow him, right? He's not that kind of that defender who just takes a side and that's kind of your, it is what it is. He wants the best receiver at all times.
Yeah.
So I think we'll see that game. But if they give him help, mate, T. Higgins is no fucking slouch, right?
Yeah.
And what they were saying that Usman might make it back. There's his knee injury. Might come back. And so there might be, you know, tight end weapons there. It's going to be fascinating. One of the previews that I went through this week was obviously went through every position group and who's got the edge, right? So, you know, experience, like, maybe edge it to Stafford a little bit from a QB point of view. Offensive line, obviously the Rams have got it. Running backs, gave it to Mixon over that two-headed monster because as an individual, he's better.
And it's a pretty shitty monster. Let me be very fucking clear. Like,
yeah, I know.
Michelle has been outgaining fucking like Akers since Akers came back, and that's not great because Michelle's not good. Like,
yeah,
I've spent years watching him for the Pats, and it's like he'd score touchdowns here and there, but he's just not good. It's like, just can you, if you just fell forward more, Sony, like you'd get more yards. Fucking hell, mate.
Yeah.
Every time. Yeah. But anyway, yeah.
So the wide receivers was an interesting push because an argument could be made for either, but when one's setting the receiving record for a year, you kind of got to give it to the Rams. But then the interesting, when you flip to defense, obviously Rams win the D-line, Rams win the secondary, maybe give it to the Bengals. They've got some decent linebackers. They've given it to McPherson from the special teams and McVay in terms of the coaching experience, and he's been to a Super Bowl before. So when you total up all of those positions and not about individual stars, the Rams have got, you know, it's like a 2-1 almost in terms of position wins. So obviously that means fucking nothing. We're trying to put a microscope on something from space, but that's realistically, on paper, it says Rams, but my heart just wants Cincy. I just want Burrow to come over and go, this is fucking ridiculous to do in your second year when your first year was marred by an ACL. Yeah. Like, it's fucking ridiculous.
The fact
right?
that he came back that quick and that good is just ridiculous anyway. So to make a Super Bowl, let alone if he fucking won it, like, get out of here.
Exactly.
Anyway, yeah. You got another one for me.
Yeah, all right. If McVay wins, do we admit that a half-decent QB would have put up more than 3 points against the Pats in 2018 and Brady would have one less ring?
No fucking chance. No chance. The Pats defense is too good. We shut him down.
3 fucking points, mate. This is McVay, like the wunderkind coach, only put up 3 points against Bill Belichick, and within 2 years, the fan base in the Rams fucking hated their quarterback. And within 3 years, he was shipped off.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Nah, I think we still would have won it. Don't worry about that. Coaching genius.
I just wanted to bring a talking point where I brought your guys back into it.
The shit on Brady just a little bit.
I know, I had to.
You stick with the Rams. If Odell wins a Super Bowl, like, does this change, like, the way we've seen, like, we see him, like, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever? Like, that's pretty crazy, right? Like, Odell has been pretty well overrated, I would say, for the last few years. Has come along in, like, just insane leaps and bounds since he got to the Rams. And here we are. Like, you sort of go, right, probably one of the best receivers in the NFL. First, what, 3-4 years of his career, gets hurt, comes back. Isn't bad, but is just wildly overrated at the same time. Cleveland, just a bit of a bust in the end. Ends up in the Rams and is like just tearing it up again. Do we then sort of walk out of this going, oh shit, no, he is actually really fucking good. He just needs to be in the right situation like so many other wide receivers, obviously. And with a good half-decent QB, because then you think about the QBs that he's been playing with. It's like he had Eli Manning and Baker fucking Mayfield, and now he's got like Matt Stafford, and you're like, oh, this is a lot easier when my QB's not like wildly shit. So here we are. What do you reckon?
Yeah. Look, once again, this is, and it's an interesting time to have these conversations, right? Because obviously nothing occurs in a vacuum. This isn't just one guy out there doing shit with no implication around everyone else around him, right? So obviously he had late career Eli as well, right? I've got a lot of opinions about Eli as an NFC East fucking fan and his stupid fucking head. But then he goes to
I'm a
Cleveland
Pats fan, Gaz. What do you think? Like, fuck
of course, of course. It's one thing we can fucking agree on.
Ooh.
It's one thing we can agree on.
Anyway.
But look, Baker was supposed to come in and be the savior, and they tried to put it everything on his shoulders, and that failed. And it failed with Odell there, and it failed with Odell gone. But hating to bring it back to Brady, but every time Odell threw a bit of a hissy, threw a kicking net, did all that sort of stuff, he was chastised for it. And there was always that argument that if Brady did that same thing, he was passionate and trying to rev up the team.
Yeah.
And when fucking Odell does it, he's a prima donna, right? What hasn't set a nice tone for that is going the polar opposite of that and having a batshit crazy dude like Antonio Brown, who takes it to the extremes, right? So Odell, what he's done is, like, some of it's been a bit dickish, but, like, I kind of get it, right? When the play around him was just not there, and he's not, doesn't have that pressure to be that number one of, we've come in and we're paying you $100 million. We're bringing you into a team. We've got our number one. We just need you to go out there and be OBJ and contribute. And that's what he's doing, and he's fucking loving it, clearly.
Yeah, it's a good one. I like that.
Yeah, I like it. All right. With these offenses, flashy QBs, right? The stories have been around Stafford and old mate Smoking Joe. Is there a chance that a non-QB wins the Super Bowl MVP? We've got Chase. We've got Donald. We've got Miller. We've got Cooper Kupp. Could it happen?
Very easily, I think. They're priced sufficiently, I think, as well. Because the QBs are like, what? Like, the narrative is just so easy for the QBs, right?
Crazy short,
So, like, Joey B putting the team on his back, and
yeah,
second year, off he goes. Stafford comes in, turns the entire team around, and they're in a soupy, so. But at the same time, like Cooper Kupp could just put up a giant stat line. I'm not sure if he can do it really against his Bengals D. I say that, and then who knows what could happen. But if he does, I think this is a the narrative could also lean towards, well, he might not win the regular season award, but we can give him the fucking MVP for the Super Bowl, and that'll make up for it, and off we go. But of course, someone's going to be throwing him those yards.
That's what I was going to say. Know? That's the problem with a receiver winning that award, right?
So tough. So I don't really think it's going to be a defensive slugfest. But I think like Aaron Donald's probably the best chance as well, just because he's so memorable. Like, it's fucking weird to say, but like, he's so fucking big. He's so fucking quick. We all know him. And if he ends up just destroying and aiding Joey B, then, and they win basically because of it, because like, maybe just the field positioning is so good after a couple of these sacks or something, it's just like, or they're in crucial moments, then you walk away, like, similar to what Von Miller in the Denver Super Bowl, right?
Where I was gonna say, there's a guy on that defensive line who's already won a Super Bowl MVP,
so yeah, I think there's a chance, but it's not a great one, you know, and I think the pricing is reflective of that. I'll get to that in a little bit. My last one, can Matt Stafford win a fucking Super Bowl? Like, that is just such a weird thing to say. Just having watched him for so fucking long. If he does, he's a surefire Hall of Famer as well, which is hilarious. He was probably going to make the Hall of Fame anyway, because of like the sheer weight of numbers behind him.
Yeah.
But I think on top of that, if this works out, do we see more QB movement because of it? Like, where teams move on from a mediocre to half decent QB to try out a QB that they think might be better, who just is in a shit situation, and they just go, fuck it, we'll go get that guy. We know that he's okay. We know that he's better than this fucking Spud, at least, and it might push us into Matt Stafford Rams territory. What do you reckon?
Yeah, well, I think that works both ways, mate, because if you're the Lions and you've got Matt Stafford's contract and you've struggled to build anything around him without sustained success, and he's carrying the team to mediocrity for so long when everyone around him is fucking terrible, do you burn it to the ground, get something for him, and then just start from scratch.
Yeah, try again.
Exactly. Because Goff was never going to be the long-term answer. Yeah. They're going to get, by getting rid of his contract, they'll eat Goff's contract, which was fucking ridiculous in the first place, and take some draft picks and see you later and maybe start from scratch. So it feels like it would be very easy to say that it was a Rams win in that trade. But I reckon history might dictate that it was a win-win-win-lose with Jared Goff being the loser, right?
A very well-paid loser, though. So.
Exactly. But he got to a Super Bowl with McVay, and then he just couldn't back it up. Like, they just worked out that when McVay was calling plays with 15 seconds to go and taking advantage of that, like, to the last second of that clock in his head, that worked. But the moment that you needed to, like, think on your feet, which is where most quarterbacks like to be, you want someone like Matt Stafford, who's got the arm and the decision-making and all of that sort of stuff. So, yeah, look, we definitely could see some movement back again. And it'll be really interesting to see if you get more quarterbacks going like the, you know, I think the Drew Brees to the Saints worked out pretty well.
It's like the flip side of that, though, is like the
Tom
Vikings.
Tom Brady to Tampa Bay worked out pretty well.
But like the flip side is also like the Vikings going, oh, well, if we just have someone half decent, like Kirk fucking Cousins, it'll be fine. It's like, no, like he's just kind of shit. Like we all, well, like
statistically
we knew that Stafford
he's been fine.
Exactly. But that's
he's he hides behind the numbers.
He does. And that's the classy thing of like watching the games. You're like, I have zero confidence in this motherfucker at every point. Whereas, like, at least with Stafford, you could sort of see that there was at least the sheer talent of the dude sort of stood out at least.
Yeah.
And it's kind of weird. So, I don't know. I kind of feel like you might just sort of see more teams, like, just do what the Rams did and just, like, jump off Goff and go, we've made a horrible mistake. Let's fucking try to rectify that. And yeah, I reckon that'd be kind of fun. Anyway, last one.
Yeah. Mate, this is almost a yeah nah. I said if it comes down to the last kick of the game and McPherson puts it through, wins a Super Bowl in his rookie season, fuck the money. Do you just quit on the spot? Do you just go, this is it. My legacy's going down in history. I got drafted when people came out, the pundits came out and said, who drafts a kicker in, what was it, the fourth or fifth round or whatever the fuck it was?
Yeah.
Fucking everyone gave them shit. And everyone, including us, gave them shit for taking Chase over, like, Penny Sewell or whatever. But it seems to have worked out all right. You'd just fucking mic drop, wouldn't you? You just, like, kick that shit through and just, like, give me my ring, I'm out of here. It cannot get any better.
Did you, yeah, just imagine that. You're in a bar in Cincy, like, a few years later. It's like, did you used to play in the NFL? Yeah, went one for one. Just played one season, won one season. Well, got the fuck out with my legs still intact. But I don't know, that's the thing. Like kickers, like punters, kickers, all that sort of vibe. Like they do have like wildly long careers though. So if Joey B stays
this good, Vinatieri played till he was like 87.
Exactly. So like McPherson, fuck, we could be telling our grandkids about him, guys, while he's still fucking playing, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Let's do some YNRs. We've got a couple of these sent in. First of all though, they're brought to you by the dailyliquor.com. That's right. Tell you what, it's summer. Still, for a little bit. But don't go get that Rona. Oh, gross. Standing alone in the bottle or some weirdo breathing near you trying to give you that Omicron Percy I-8. No thanks. Bring the bottle over to you. I'll drop off the booze at your door, Rona-free, at thedailyliquor.com. You got beers, wines, cocktails, everything you need. Dropped off at your door, Rona-free, and a free six-pack on your mates Gaz and Jimmy. That's right, a free sixer. How good's that? So, it's of the Dos Blocos XPA. The old Red Devils, God, they go down good. And if you're banging that code STRAYA, you get a free six of them. So that's awesome. Go check out thedailyliquor.com right now. It's for the Melbourne metro area. Same day delivery before noon. Obviously, be over 18. That'd be a bit weird otherwise. And drink responsibly. But have a free sixer on your mates Gaz and Jimmy, you little ripper. Right, yeah, Nas, number one. Did Jimmy get emotional about Tom Brady leaving and retiring, Gaz? I wrote this one myself.
You already answered this earlier. The fucking in the 10 big fucking things of the week. And fucking said this, Jimmy. And I'll tell you what, I can't believe.
Yeah, nah. I actually got emotional. It was watching the videos. Because I fancy myself, you know, just like a little bit distant, and especially like having moved home, like from living in the States for so long, and it's like just in your face the entire time. And having Tom and the Patriots just there and like fucking close by as well. This little bit of distance, I think, has actually helped me sort of deal with the fact that he was in Tampa Bay and is now actually retiring. But when it all sort of kicked in, you're like, holy fuck, man. Like, I have watched, like, this dude, like, play for the team that I grew up, like, you know, loving from afar. And I got to see him in person. Yeah. Got to see him win 6 fucking Super Bowls for us. Like, it was fucking awesome. For my entire adult life, like, shit.
I could imagine it would tug at your heartstrings, you know, when you see the guy finally retire who you watched lose 3 Super Bowls to the NFC East. I could see why that would be.
I can't argue with you, like, but I will count the other rings, and that's fine. So
yeah, that's fair enough.
Because we
that's
did win enough. One against the NFC East as well. So, oh, who was it? Yeah, oh, no, that's against the Eagles, wasn't it? Yeah, it's a tough one.
That was against them. That was that one that Donovan McNabb threw up in the huddle. Yeah, there's that one.
But either way, I did get emotional, and it was
Yeah, of course.
It was kind of like a weird sort of week for it, where it sort of had a little bit of, it had enough time to breathe. And he did come out with, like, after sort of not mentioning the Pats fans and everything in the sort of first little bit, did then, like, back it up with, like, a couple of other messages, as I alluded to. And yeah. I just fucking lapped it up. Loved them all. And I think we talked about on last week's show, will he actually do it? And we kind of thought, probably not. He showed us. Better to walk away.
It was weird the way it all went down. It was weird with, obviously, was it Schefter or was it the Rappaport or was it Schefter that came out? I think it was Adam Schefter came out first. And then he kind of was angry and we're like, oh, well, of course he's got to be a little bit pissy because he's got a bonus coming. He's got a $15 million bonus coming if he's on after the, whatever it was, the 2nd of Feb or whatever it was. But yeah, look, he's gone out kind of statistically one of his best seasons kind of ever. Yeah. But you got to wonder what.
That's how I feel about it, right? Like, if you don't win the Super Bowl, you at least want to still go out, like, looking good and, like, not having people's memories of you being, like, a noodle-armed Peyton Manning who was carried to a Super Bowl kind of thing.
He's in contention for the MVP. I don't think he'll win it, but, like, he's a name in the conversation, right? Which is crazy at his age, you know. It's fucking... What's even crazier is seeing... Like all of the highlight videos, and I don't want you to get too emotional on this podcast, Jimmy. You know, I can see the tear just welling up right now. But seeing
if
like
you say
when
anything
when,
about his fucking hairline now, we might fight. So that's all right.
No. When he stepped, like seeing some of the old school videos where he stepped in for Drew Bledsoe in that first game, and like in the videos that have come out on the, I can't remember what it was, like the 2001 Pro Bowl skills contest or something, where he looks fucking 12.
Yeah.
And he's like squinting and all that. It's fucking, it's just like his career is fucking epic, right?
It is insane.
And as much as I, as annoyed and blah, blah, and he gives me the shits, as I'm sure that there's a whole bunch of people out there who feel the same, you can't help but think in 20 years' time, we'll be telling our grandkids how we lived through the Tom Brady era.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's not going to be repeated in this sport. Right? It's as you said, the average Super Bowls for, like, average wins and rings for the top flight quarterbacks is what, you know, 1.5.
Yeah. It's tough. It's fucking so hard to win a Super Bowl. He's won 7.
Yeah,
so.
Funny about that.
Love it.
Funny about that.
All right, we do have another
bunch.
I just
want to stick on that because we don't do too much even further and we might as well talk about it now. What do you think is next for Tampa Bay? There's a lot of free agents that were up for this year, and not having Tom and going through another rebuild is not going to really going to keep people around. Yeah. I can't imagine Gronk coming back.
No, and like you've got Godwin obviously injured with an ACL as well, so it's not like you've got like a fucking plethora of weapons like you did when Brady walked into it, right? So makes it a bit trickier. Arians though, look, he'll make do as he always sort of does, and they'll sort of slip back in the pack. I don't know. It's going to be fascinating to see what they do at QB, though. So bring back Jameis, I say. Yes. Roll the dice again.
That's what it. That's the rumors, right? That's the rumors already. All right, on to the next one. This one's from Jez. The fucking Commanders is the worst fucking name in the history of sports.
Yeah, nah. Yes.
Yeah, nah.
There've been some pretty fucking bad. I mean, the fact that they were the Redskins is
the
pretty
Redskins?
Fucking bad.
Yes,
I don't know. How about we don't have a racial slur as a name? Like, the Commanders isn't at least a racial slur. It's a dumb name because you can just shorten it to the Commies, and it's literally about fucking DC, and America puts itself up as the paragon of fucking virtue against the Commies, and you've got your football team as the Commies, you idiots. What are you doing? Meanwhile, you were used to be a racial slur. Like, come on, man. Like, it's a...
Yeah, so there's the whole... Like, it's like they went and said, okay, we've been problematic for so long, and our behavior and the reports on us are kind of problematic, so let's go out of our way to be as fucking vanilla as possible. But then they had the marketing videos at the launch, and there's still merch in the background that says Redskins on it. So it's kind of, they're not really turning their back on the problematic thing. But also, I just don't get it, man. They had the ability, like there was, obviously there's a lot of the fan base who were just saying, oh, what the fuck was it? There is a lot of unfortunate parts of the fan base that go, I don't see what the problem was. I just have to make this comment. It came up online and I can't even finish my own point because there's some fucking irony. Sorry, it just reminded me of something I saw online that was fucking ironic as hell to me. I don't know if it is going to be to any listener, but someone, there was a conversation online talking about the new name and a poster said, it's the Redskins. Always was, always will be. Now, the irony for me
of that in of him that phrase.
In him adapting a sentence that has been adopted by First Nations people to talk about what has happened in their experience and use that to talk about a sports team who changed their name because they were problematic against First Nations people, I found fucking amazing. But decided not to comment on it because I sometimes don't fight with people on the internet because you don't win that fight. It's like playing pool with a rope, Jimmy. You're not going to win that one.
To be fair, I think it's also, like, it's actually a pretty genius move because Washington just need to keep their vibe of really fucking shit sports teams' names alive. The Wizards, the Capitals... Yep.
You've also got, you know, the Washington Generals who play the Harlem Globetrotters.
That's right. The Nationals is the other. They're just all bad names. The Nationals, the Capitals, the Wizards. Yeah. Like, the Bullets was a sick name and they changed it anyway. So Commanders just fits in perfectly.
They've always had. So the other thing is they didn't even stay with their own branding. This was the point that I was going to make before I got into my always was, always will be circle of thought. But they've always had that HTTR, right? Everything is branded. Hail to the Redskins. Mm-hmm. On the table, there was Red Tails. There was Red Hogs.
Yeah.
There was a whole bunch of all... Anything starting with R could have retained. The fucking Renegades. I don't care. You could have kept your branding and it would have made a whole bunch of your fan base a lot happier because they could have kept saying their HTTR, bro.
Yep.
But...
You went with the Commies.
HTTC. You could have gone... I don't know. They could have gone the Pharaohs and then all the nerds could have gone HTTP...
Nice.
Colon backslash, backslash
backslash. Oh boy. But yeah, Commanders, it is pretty.
It's just boring. Bad, it's vanilla as fuck, but also has that commie tweak that you're like, oh, that's gonna haunt you.
At least it's funny. Matty O had a pretty good one. Best possible uniform matchup. Because we know how Jimmy loves his colours. Yeah, nah. So I had to think about this and it's actually because the Bengals are going to be wearing their black uniforms with the, so orange on black straps kind of vibe.
Yep.
Which is a really good combo because it's got the white pants, I think, that also involves with the orange stripes. And then the Rams will be in their white tops, blue helmets and stuff. So pretty neat. I'm kind of here for it. Like, it's a good one. So, because they've got the yellow pants. That's the only probable, I think, like the yellow pant version of these Rams jerseys will be a bit rough. But I think it is a really, really good one. And the only problem is, I think Chiefs Rams might have been better. So I'm going to say nah, because I think the Chiefs, like the black and the orange is going to be gnarly. The blue, the yellow, awesome. I just think the blue and the yellow and maybe the red and the white of the Chiefs would have just been a fucking awesome one. But this is like probably the second best option we could have had out of even like the last eight. So I'll take it in a fucking heartbeat because those Bengals ones are like pretty fucking sick, man. So pretty happy with it, I'll tell you that much. So I like that Matty wrote that one in because I had thought about it. I was like, which ones are they going to? And then I looked into it. I'm like, aha, that is very good. Just, I think, yeah, Chiefs-Rams might have been a little bit more aesthetically pleasing, whereas this is, like, fucking really good. So, very close. I like that.
I'm unpopular opinion. I know this doesn't work well for those people from the 60s with a black and white TV and those people that are colorblind, but I'd be all in for, like, a Color Rush style where, you know, we're playing blue and yellows versus black and oranges. That would be fucking sick in a Super Bowl. It would look fucking... No whites. Fuck the whites off. Whites are the boring bit anyway, right?
Yeah, I mean,
only
you
just
do have...
that in to see who's...
That is, that's almost the problem with this one as well, because you got the white pants for the Bengals with the white tops of the Rams. It's going to be a little bit... Ah, oh, okay. But, I mean, the difference is pretty good, though, because you do have the yellow pants of the Rams. And it is kind of actually, to be honest, once I see it on the field, it probably will be awesome because it'll be a bit more reminiscent of like Bengals Steelers, right? Which is like a classic AFC North matchup and always looks pretty gnarly. Like it's obviously a pretty close fucking uniform match anyway. It's not black and gold, it's blue and gold. So I think once we see this on the field, I might actually change my tune and say that this is a fucking all-time classic color matchup. But just thinking in my brain, you know? That's where I usually do most of it.
You think way too much about colours than I do.
I really do. Fuck. Anyway, another one. Yeah.
All right. Fucking McKeegan. Oh, you fucked this worked out. You did that. You did this in specific order, so I had to fucking read this one. Fucking Brad McKeegan. Right. Will Gaz, fuck, and his old mate Rogers join me down in Tampa next season. Yeah, nah.
Oh,
fuck you, Brad.
I love
nah.
it. You just
There's
getting...
no chance.
It's like
you're
no just,
chance.
You're going to have so much fun like trying to follow your Eagles, follow your Jaguars, follow your Packers, and follow your new Bucks because your best mate Rogers will be on the Bucks. That'd be unreal. You'd be... I'd be worried about your finances with all the jerseys you'd be buying.
He's not going, mate. It's fucking... It is Jameis. Jameis is going to Tampa.
It is like
it's
got to
be that reunion. He's got to be just down there in Florida, just eating crab legs, just fucking loving it, not paying for him.
Probably not eating too many. Probably not eating too many W's though. I mean, Russell Wilson would be a good one down there. Like, who knows what could happen? But and the last,
like, it also if it's a mass exodus, right? Like, which is it's kind of highly likely. So as I think I mentioned, I can't remember if I was last week's podcast, but. Was looking at a couple of graphs that came out, and it was the most offensive snaps and defensive snaps at risk during due to unrestricted free agency, and the Tampa Bay had the highest. Then the next graph was the dollar value for the next contract for those players, and Tampa Bay was the highest. So they literally cannot retain everyone. And when you've got guys like Godwin and Gronk and all those sort of guys, some weapons going to go.
Yep.
Anyway,
the last one is yours. Does Gaz love the AFC South now that he gets to watch Dougie P take on Carson Wentz twice a year? Yeah, nah.
Fucking yes, he does.
So
this is the, I know, right? I was pumped. Like, when it missed last year, so obviously he needed to take a year off. There was fucking the way that the front, there was obviously the Eagles were a train wreck at the end of the Dougie P. Winston, Carson Wentz era. Winston, got fucking Jameis on the brain. Carson Wentz era. He needed to take that break, but I reckon he's fucking great for the Jags. Like, Trevor Lawrence, developing a young quarterback, he's that team-first vibe. Remember that he came straight after Chip Kelly tore the Eagles apart, shipped off D-Jax, shipped off Shady, basically didn't give a fuck about the players. Dougie came in and, like, built that vibe of the team. He's going to do that in Jacksonville, and they got some number, like, high draft picks to go with it. I'm fucking all in. I'm like, I'm going to be following the Jags next year. And I was a big fan of Frankie Reich and the Colts, but you know what? I kind of want the Jags to fucking continue to knock them off. Who have they got a trend with, mate? Who have they got a trend knocking off? The fucking Colts.
I just think you're really in love with all the teams that have green associated with them as well. So, you know.
Oh, and syphilis.
Bit of Jaguar teal.
Jacksonville. Jacksonville.
You just want to go get an STD in that pool.
Yeah, in the pool, yeah.
Really quick Outback Takehouse for you. That's right. It's Tuesday at Outback. And you know what that means? Yep. Just ran over an echidna on my bike. Unbelievable. It's an appetizer that comes with its own little serving stick over a flame grilled take. And today's flame grilled take is, don't get this fucking twisted, Gaz. Bill Belichick did this all on purpose. He knows which Brian is white Brian and which one's the other Brian. Get the fuck. He did this to completely fuck the Giants for fucking him out of two Super Bowls. Only. And to go further with that, and to get Brian Flores back on his staff after seeing how fucking well he coached the shit out of those Dolphins. So he can be his coach in waiting. That's why he was happy to let Josh McDaniels go fuck off and be shit in Las Vegas. Only at Outback. It's the double barrel. Bill knew what he was doing. Bill fucked the Giants and it might allow him to keep Brian Flores. I'm here for it. Right. I do love that he had a senior moment, though, maybe.
That's fucking weird.
But I reckon
the fact when he admitted his, it's when he admitted his mistake, like the only message he sent through with BB at the end was the one went, oh, sorry, yeah. I fucked that.
Yeah, BB.
I'll put my hand up, BB here, in case he didn't know. He's the one.
Yeah, I'm
Brian Flores the one is the one who up, knew so. Who he was messaging, right? You didn't need to tell him.
So good. All right. Super Bowl prop bets, Fast Jimmy's locks of the week for top 10 fun dumb Super Bowl bets. Look, I spend more of my time out of a day like coming
planning
up with
the name of that segment.
Just coming up fucking with the names of segments more than anything else. All right, top 10 prop bets for the Super Bowl, for Super Bowl 56. Basically, these are just the ones that I think are fun and silly, whatever. If you want to go really hardcore, you've got like about a million options at Super Bowl. Weirdly enough, I couldn't bet on the Gatorade this far out. But either way, can bet on. Oh, number wow. one, my favorite, tails never fails. The coin toss. Six out of the last 10 Gaz have gone tails. That means it's going to win again. It's always just written. But either way, it's $1.88. Let's go coin toss. Give me tails.
I've researched some tips on this one. The tip I'm not taking is Josh Allen's, so I'm going to go against whatever Josh Allen has tipped for the coin toss. Nice.
Number two, Alvin Kamara to go to jail for 12 plus months. Evens at the moment. it's a bit of a rough one. We've got video footage. It's like,
I haven't seen it. I saw it posted and then I had to write notes for this fucking thing.
Nobody's seen it yet, but fucking hell.
Oh, right, okay.
That doesn't sound great for Alvin Kamara. It's going to be one of those ones where, sir, do you want to press charges? And he's like, how much money is Alvin Kamara going to give me?
Yeah.
To avoid jail. But no, number two for me, opening kickoff return for a touchback. $1.69. Always have, like, one of the simplest and easiest ones. It's the first play of the Super Bowl. What are you going to do? Touchback?
Fucking oath.
Let it go.
Going for it.
You can have a crack. What do you think?
Fucking gay, and it's McPherson. Both of them got the leg.
Yeah, I think it's a touchback. Yeah. So each time
it's touchback. Yeah,
each time I think it is, and I think that's the kickoff team is going to be trying the absolute fucking hardest to make sure it is, because you don't want to even give them the chance of getting completely revved up, right? Super Bowl.
No, you don't want to give chances. It to a you don't want a Devin Hester, right?
Exactly.
You don't want a Bears versus Colts.
Speaking of which, number three, Bengals to not have a missed PAT. That's $1.04. That's free money, Gaz. That's if you want to make $4, you're going to spare Hundy just lying around and you just want to make $4. Boom. Right fucking there.
That's amazing.
McPherson is not missing a PAT. Nope. But I like this one, though. You just mentioned Matt Gay. This is a combo. Missed field goal in a game. Yes, $2.04. Matt Gay to miss a field goal. $3.40. You think McPherson's missing? No fucking chance. It's Matt Gay, $3.45. Off you go. I love those. Look, I'm just a bit worried about Matt Gay after the last few weeks. I think it could rear its ugly head for just a second there. If you're the Rams, you've got to be a little bit dubious. But either way, number four, quarterback to be sacked first. Who would you go, Gaz? Because I thought this was pretty fucking easy.
Well, it obviously depends who gets the ball first, right?
But
and look, the defensive line to the Bengals did get pressure to Mahomes and did get to him. But yeah, I mean, you got to. Can you get a double with your coin flip? I mean, the obvious money is the obvious money is on your shit at offensive line.
That's where I'm at. So Joe
definitely
Burrow,
you'd definitely be going Joey Burrow, right?
Joey B is $1.52, and on top of that, I like this one as well. What happens first, a touchdown or a sack? A sack is $1.96 versus $1.78 for your touchdown. So I'd go sack first, I think, more so than touchdown, as everybody's a little bit nervy early on in the Super Bowl and the defenses maybe round into form a little bit quicker and they just busted coverage, boom. Someone gets lit up. Speaking of which, play to record first sack, Aaron Donald. $4.60. It's a bit of a tricky one because you know that they're going to be game planning and, you know, ways to at least try to slow him down.
Yeah, it doubles.
He is so fucking good, though.
Fucking stopped him.
Never stopped him before. So
no.
I like that one. Total sacks for the Rams D. This is number six. Over 3.5. I'm all over this one. $2.11. Sign me the fuck up. 3.5? They could have that in the first quarter, Gaz. QBs, anytime touchdown scorer. Another fun little dumb one. This is the number seven of Fast Jimmy's Locks of the Week, top 10 fun dumb Super Bowl bets. Joey Burrow's $7.50, anytime touchdown scorer. Stafford's $9, right? So this is QB sneak, Joey Burrow leaking out the side, Stafford somehow falling over. I don't mind it. Like, both of them are pretty good value because I think Burrow has sort of given us at least a little bit. And you know, in a Super Bowl, if like everything sort of breaks down, we've seen Joey B just go, oh, yeah, I might just pop around the corner. Here we go. And Stafford, I mean, shit, if they're in close, maybe you run Sonny Michel
in. If they stopped it.
Michelle's going to stop you at the line again and again and again. Yeah. QB sneak, $9. Off you go.
Yeah.
This might be one of my favorites, though. Number eight, both QBs throw an interception. Sign me the fuck up to that. $2.88. I love it. But how do you like this one, Gaz? How about both of them throw an interception and they throw 39-plus yards completed passes? $8.50. Because you know they're both going to be throwing bombs. You know they're both probably going to get intercepted at some point. So you just need a 40-yard pass for both of them and you both need an interception. I think they're going to be doing a bit of throwing. I think it might get a bit of intercepting, and away we go. So I kind of like the $8.50 there. Number nine, and this leads into number 10. You talked about it earlier. Cooper Kupp to have 100 yards and a touchdown, $2.63. Number 10, Cooper Kupp for Super Bowl MVP, $6. I have spent a lot of time ragging on Cooper Kupp on this here program.
Yeah, you're not, fucking mate.
Not so much ragging on him insofar as like saying that, yes, the numbers are great. MVP, let's cool our fucking jets. However, in this specific game, going up against a pretty formidable kind of Bengals D who have spent, you know, what, the last 3 weeks just clamping down the Titans, clamping down the Chiefs. If Cooper Kupp just rips off 100-plus yards and a touchdown or two, pack her up, boys. He might walk away with that Super Bowl MVP. And for the $6, I think it's worth it. Stafford's at $2.10, as I mentioned earlier. So I think Mine is also leading to our predictions here, which is what we're going to get to right now. I think the Rams win. I think Stafford wins MVP. Does enough, and away we go. So the $2.10 for Stafford is pretty good. If Cooper Kupp does get his 100 yards and the touchdown, you can bank that one. You can also chuck the a little bit on that 6-1 as well if you need to, and away you go. But that leads us to, I mean, predictions, guys. Rams hosting the Bengals. Oh, for the first time ever in Super Bowl history, apart from last year, fuckheads. Unbelievable.
Nah, the Bengals are home, aren't they? Technically, the Bengals home are team. Home at
the Rams
LA Stadium.
Nice. So the Rams are home. Can we believe that the Bengals? Well, this is the one big thing we asked last week. Can the Bengals win 3 straight playoff games on the road? Is there a chance of it? Is there a chance of it? I've stuck with my pick from last week, which is Rams -4, just because I think, as I've said, my mind's eye just sort of plays it out. I just think there's a little bit too much talent on the Rams, and I think the upside in them putting together like some pretty like Super Bowl winning scores in this game is probably of a higher upside than Cincy gumming it up, kicking enough field goals to win, and like picking off like one or two, like a Stafford throw here and then getting one or two touchdowns out of like Higgins or maybe Jamar Chase. Like, I just kind of like the Rams' chances a little bit more, so I'm going to go the Rams -4. And are you going to stick with your Cincy pick from last week?
So, firstly, it'd be boring if I agreed with you. It would be boring if I went with logic over the fucking Cinderella story. So, fuck it. I'm going Cincy, mate. That's fucking. There's just something. There's something about the story that I just love to walk away with. I love to walk away with saying I was there.
Yeah.
I was fucking there when the Eagles won the first Super Bowl. We were there through the Tom Brady period. We were there when a quarterback won a Super Bowl in his second ever season after doing his ACL in his first. That's a fucking great story. I'm going with Cincy. I don't know where they got to pull it from, but they're just fucking getting up there.
So my score prediction is 27-21 Rams. So they cover the 4. And so you've gone Cincy +4. Remember, after an entire season of picking games, we are tied, which is still fucking hilarious. So I do appreciate that we've gone different because it would have been boring otherwise. The good thing is I've got a feeling we'll be drinking enough booze at the Super Bowl party, at the Catfish, that that might get paid out pretty quickly, the one beer. But so I've gone 27-21 Rams. What are you going to go?
I'm going 30-27 Cincy, but I'm gonna go if I nail that, I want an extra beer if Shooter McPherson kicks the. I've deliberately made it 3 points difference so that Shooter McPherson kicks that. It's 27 all, 10 seconds to go, Jimmy.
Jeez.
Spike the ball with 3 seconds to go. Shooter comes on, puts it through the sticks. Since he wins 30-27, he mic drops, has his speech, and says, fuck it, boys, I quit.
Love it.
Pack her up, going home.
I do love it. Look, I think, so this is all my head talking. I think my heart wants Cincy to win because that'd be fucking funny as all, like, all hell and awesome. Like, your Super Bowl champion, Cincinnati Bengals, would just be the funniest outcome. And I'm always going to root for chaos, so I'm on board.
Yeah.
And I guess, so that would leave us, so that would, with our picks, I've gone the Rams. You've gone Cincy. This is literally for all the marbles to walk away a winner from the week, from the year. And the real one last big question from this Super Bowl, guys. Will this be the greatest halftime show ever? Holy shit. Mary J.
Line up.
Dre. Eminem. Snoop. Kendrick Lamar. The fact that there's a football game apparently happening either side of that concert is just fucking nuts, right? Like, I'm here for it.
Yeah.
That's gnarly.
It's been a few years since I've gone, fuck, I can't go have a piss. I'm like, I can't do that. Oh, look, the last ones, obviously the greatest Super Bowl halftime performances of all time have to be
Prince.
Springsteen.
Prince. MJ.
If he wasn't so problematic after the fact, at the time, MJ's was fucking amazing. Actually, the fucking her own one,
Beyonce's
was fucking out of control.
So you're not you're right? telling There's me the Coldplay some... one that had Bruno Mars as well wasn't as good?
The Bruno Mars and Beyonce bits were great.
Yeah, the Coldplay just were there. Just
I had piss breaks in between every time Coldplay. That was the most boring fucking segments known to man. But this has the potential to be just fucking mind blowing, right? Yep. If they nail the production here, this is going to be out of control. Like we were so excited when they announced this fucking 6 months ago that, strap it in. We were thinking of like next week. We haven't even discussed this properly, but we're talking about how we were going to. We'll probably live stream. It's like probably pregame. Catfish asked us if we were going to do it like at halftime or do something quick then. I think we did that last year. There's no fucking chance.
No chance.
There's no chance I am missing this halftime show.
And there's no chance anyone there is going to be wanting to
You've
not gotta
watch
it with us.
You've got to give a fuck about us. We will just get fucking beer glasses piffed at us if we were to dare. So it's got to be awesome.
I can't wait. I mean, it's going to be pretty close to probably my favorite of all time. Obviously, Katy Perry, which is obviously yours as well. But the Pepsi halftime show.
The shark. Is that that's the shark?
I think that
band
was the shark one.
It was all like, yeah.
Either way, it was Katy Perry. Brutal. But either way, that is it. That's it for the Super Bowl preview. Unbelievable.
Second last episode of the season, Jimmy.
Yeah, I mean, well,
we don't count the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we've got other episodes sort of floating around, though, in the off season. But yeah. In this specific season, I guess, it's unbelievable. One more game to go. So we'll be back wrapping it up next week after the game. Not on the Monday, don't get me wrong. There's no fucking chance of that happening. It'll definitely be on the Tuesday. We'll wrap all everything that happened for you. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about the shenanigans. And hopefully we'll be able to see you at the Catfish as well if you've bought your $5 ticket, reserved your spot to come and hang out with us, drink some tins. Do some chill, you know, shots. Talk some shit. Have some
And
lunch.
We're gonna do some probably live streaming beforehand. So stick in for that. But if you didn't get a ticket, if you haven't got a ticket, send us a now. Nah, we're still gonna give some passes away during the week, and we're just putting our lists together now from those boys who did send some stuff in already. And worst case scenario, we will drink some beers with you if you've already got tickets. I'd like to see some Eagles jerseys there. Jimmy would love to see some Pats ones. But because we know there aren't too many Rams jerseys kicking around, let's be honest.
True.
But it's got to be fucking epic.
Can't wait.
My wife sent me a message today going, could we organise Valentine's dinner on like the 16th, because I know there's no fucking chance in hell it's happening on the 14th. And I'm like, yes, you are correct. Is correct.
Awesome. Well, in the meantime, check us a follow on Facey, Twitter, IG. We'll be streaming, as we mentioned, from the Super Bowl party at the Caddy. It's going to be awesome. Going to be fun on the bun. Check us a rating and review on your podcast app, however you're listening to this thing. Thanks to House Hats for the intro and outro song. Go check out their album on Apple Music. Smashthedailyliquor.com. Use that code STRAY. Get a free sixer on your mates Gaz and Jimmy. And go to manscaped.com. Bang in that code STRAYA. Look after your nuts. And get 20% off and free shipping with the code STRAYA. Smash NBA STRAYA, my daily show. Tell you what, heating up, Gaz. Trade deadline. You got an all-star around the corner. It's awesome. What do you got to plug?
Oh, mate. Eagles STRAYA. They've been started to build up a little modest following on that. So going to start kicking off, just working out, going to do some video podcasts next year, a little bit of Eagles content, as you're going to do one with your Pats boys, not Patriots Australia, because that sounds right-wing as fuck. Also, Ramshackle, booking a couple of shows coming up. So St. Patrick's Day is coming up, obviously, in March on March 17, as it does every fucking year. So that was the one thing that doesn't fucking move. So, keep an eye out for Ramshackle shows and come drink beers with me then if you don't drink beers with me on Super Bowl.
Sounds good. All right, well, there you go. I can't wait. Bengals, Rams, it's all going to be happening. Shit-face to the Catfish at 10:30 on a Monday morning. Nothing better. Absolutely.
Nothing better.
Nothing better. So we'll catch you next week, you dickheads. Enjoy your Super Bowl.
See yas.
Later, Ozen.